welcome to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
That would take the heart from me. A day may come when the courage of men fails, when we forsake our friends and break all bonds of fellowship. But it is not this day. An hour of wolves and shattered shields when the age of men comes crashing down. But it is not this day. This day.
All right, everybody, and welcome to the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. We didn't quite get to all of that clip at the very end. It reaches its climatic point where he encourages them to stand, men of the West. And that was, of course, a very memorable scene from Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. We had Kevin MacDonald on last week, our featured guest, Keith, and it was a great hour of talk radio with Kevin MacDonald. We covered a wide variety of subjects. One thing we didn't get into was his very excellent article entitled Implicitly White Themes in The Hobbit, which is the new Lord of the Rings movie that is currently out in theaters. And of course, the Lord of the Ring trilogy stands alone in Hollywood as modern day movies that are implicitly pro-white. It was a great article by Kevin. It's up on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. And you can't get more implicitly pro-white than that speech. And we have a clip of that, a video clip also featured at our website this week. You've got the King, Aragorn, there in the movie, played by Viggo Mortensen. And he's giving this rallying speech to his troops that all look like they just disembarked from a Viking longboat. He's encouraging them to stand, men of the West, as they prepare to face this barbarian horde of orcs coming out of the black gates, no less. I mean, it just doesn't get more implicit than that. And hell, that's almost explicit. And as one of our very astute commenters on the blog, one of our readers had to opine that this siege, this battle that's depicted in the movie does bear many similarities to the Siege of Vienna when the Holy Roman Empire drove the Turks out of Austria. It's a shame, I guess, in some ways that the only heroes we have are fantasy characters in the very, very, very rare decent movie to come out of Hollywood. But men like this don't exist anymore, Keith. Outside of this radio studio, outside of our listening audience and a few other places, men are not men anymore. The days of, we call upon the names of these three quite often here on this show because we are Tennesseans and this show is based in Tennessee. But the days of men like Nathan Bedford Forrest and Davy Crockett and Andrew Jackson are seemingly a thing of the past. Today's man is feminine. He's apologetic. He's weak. He pretends to love all the things that are going to bring about the demise of him and his family. So we look for inspiration wherever we can draw it. This show and Lord of the Rings apparently are two of the last bastions.
That's why I limit myself primarily to old movies, because then you had explicitly pro-white themes. You have to, quite frankly, be very astute to pick up the implicitly white themes in any of the movies, and even the Hobbit movies, Lord of the Rings type movies. On the other hand, the anti-white animus is explicit right out there in things like Django Unchained and just about everything else that Quentin Tarantino has produced. You know, he's like the golden boy of Hollywood nowadays in every one of his movies. Every single one without variation basically models for non-whites how to go about killing white people.
And we're going to get into some stories of real life imitating that revenge fantasy fiction of Inglorious Bastards, if you will, according to the spelling, and Django Unchained. Folks, tonight's going to be a horrible show. Not in terms of our delivery or our presentation. We've got Jared Taylor on tonight during the third hour. That alone is going to make it a great show. But in terms of the content that we bring to you tonight, it's going to be anywhere between ridiculous to absolutely abhorrent. That's why this is the political cesspool. It's not the political delight talk hour. It's not the it's not that. It's the political cesspool because it's filthy. And we tell the truth. And we don't water down the truth. And we hope that the truth is going to set us free. But no one else in mainstream media seems willing to call a spade, to stand up for truth, honor, integrity, and to let the chips fall where they may. Well, that's what you get here. And unfortunately, we have to filter it all because no one else is willing to do the job. So it all has to flow through us. This is the political cesspool. We do our best to drain it each week during the 3 hours we have, but it's not nearly enough. But with your help and God's grace, we do the best we can.
Yeah, we're going to point out all the snares and pitfalls that have been thrown in your path. We'll let you know what your children are encountering when they go to the movies, when they go to the school, when they turn on the television set. Unfortunately, none of it's good news, but on the other hand, this is not the political Pollyanna show. It's a political cesspool, and somebody's got to do it. It's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it, James.
And we will be doing it tonight, as we do every Saturday night for 3 hours. I'm really not excited, but, you know, I get a lot of emails, as you know. Some emails will say, you know, why don't you post more on the blog? Some people will say, you post too much on the blog. We could put 10 articles a day up on the blog if we wanted to. We could pare it down. But I like the flow because everything that is put on at thepoliticalcesspool.org is something that I have personally green-lighted. It's something that I want you to know about. It's a story that I feel is important enough to warrant either airtime on the broadcast or at least time on the website. So we don't try to oversaturate the site. We try to get you two, sometimes three articles a day that I think are particularly significant, and then we tear them apart if they warrant the discussion here on the show, and if nothing else, they're at least up there. So we try to keep it down to a manageable number of entries each week, and again, sometimes it'll be good stuff. I mean, make no mistake about it. When we have a victory or an advancement to celebrate, and certainly this radio program alone has accumulated many of those over the course of our run, thanks to your support. We talk about it. If other people out there do good work on behalf of our people and our shared cause, we talk about it. Unfortunately, those numbers don't really stand up to the numbers of, well, disgusting and despicable stories, the likes of which you'll be hearing about, at least between now and the time when Jared Taylor comes on in the third hour. That's going to be a little more uplifting because we're going to be talking about the 2013 American Renaissance Conference that has just been announced. He'll be giving you all the details about that before the show ends. But between now and then, Keith, it's going to get ugly.
Well, you know, we could get 10 stories a day just here locally in Memphis that would curl your toenails. We couldn't drain the swamp with 20 stories, but quite frankly, we've got to give you everything that we can, but we have to use some editorial discretion.
And with that, we'll be back right after this.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0-degree sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
If you're considering a water filter, have you heard about AquaPail? AquaPail from FreezeDryGuy.com has huge advantages over many other water filters. American-made AquaPail units are designed and engineered to not just filter contaminated water, but capture or kill all bacteria and viruses to non-detectable levels. AquaPail has the fastest flow rate of any other water filter on the market, filtering a gallon of contaminated water in about 5 minutes. That's water when you need it, now. Get the world's fastest, safest, and most reliable gravity-fed portable water treatment system for surface, well, and wastewater sources. AquaPail. Available in 4 sizes starting at only $100. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran-owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Okay, everybody, opening segment banter has now come and gone. It's time to begin the show in earnest. We're going to start with something ridiculous before we advance to the murderous. Again, real life imitating art, black on white murders taking place. There was a flurry of minorities, if you will, on Twitter saying after walking out of the viewing of Django Unchained, saying how they would love to kill whites like they saw in the movie and how they were planning to do it. And, well, maybe that's what's happening. That's what's happening. That's certainly what Jamie Foxx fantasizes about, but we'll get to that in a moment. A very important question is troubling pet owners everywhere, Keith. According to the story, many dog owners worry that their pet may be racist. Now, did you ever know that? This is a serious story. So serious, in fact, that a pet psychologist was called in to be interviewed to alleviate the concerns of these owners. Did you know that there was a such thing, Keith, as a pet psychologist? This isn't a joke. I'm not doing something and there's about to be a punchline. This is a serious story, and apparently that's a real profession. Did you know that? All right, answer that, and then I'll read the story.
No, but I can imagine that the Jewish community has invented such a person. You know, they are great at being experts on everything, and they are constantly discovering new areas in which to be experts in. You know, that's what technocracy was all about. Technocracy was government by experts. That's how they insinuated themselves into governing America when they couldn't get elected dog catchers. So I'm not at all surprised, and I guarantee you that 9 out of 10 of the leading pet psychologists in the world are Jewish.
Well, here's the story. You know, it worries me, first of all, that such a stupid question, are pets racist, could even be dignified with an answer or a story or a profession dedicated to the phenomenon, but here it is. Animals seem too innocent and furry to hold prejudices, but many dog owners worry that their pet is racist based on its behavior. Although a dog may appear to be racist, that's not possible. Racism, get this, Keith, I found this to be interesting. Racism requires complex thinking and higher cognitive functions, shared dog psychologist Linda Michaels. So, okay, so right there, All right, thank God. I was worried there for a minute. Okay, dogs are not racist. They can't be. Because to be a racist, you have to be a higher level. You have to be operating on a higher level of cognition and evolution, according to the psychologist. But people are still concerned over racist swans. This is a story we've actually covered before. Those racist swans were fighting immigration in their pond with a naval blockade. Safari workers noted that white swans were imposing a naval blockade on their black-feathered cousins when the swans' caretakers saw a pair of white swans not allowing a pair of black swans to take a dip in the pond. In recent weeks, a pair of white European swans at the Ramat Gan Safari Park have been refusing to let the black Australian swans enter the pond and swim there. The blockade launched by the white swans has been particularly hard on the black swans as the temperature has climbed over recent weeks. At first, the workers thought this was a temporary measure that would end in a day or two. The caretakers thought it was aggressiveness related to the courting season of the white swans, but the white swans have not shown any signs of courtship. Still, the blockade has continued. Since then, safari workers note, each morning the male and female white swans can be seen patrolling back and forth near the entrance to the pond, and each time a black swan tries to find relief from the heat in the cool pond waters, they are immediately chased away. So, two stories, racist dogs and racist swans. What I learned from it, Keith, what I take from it is that, thanks to Linda Michaels, we can all rest easy that dogs aren't more racist. What I take from the other story is that swans apparently are more advanced than white humans.
Well, it proves the truth of that old chestnut we've heard all of our lives, that birds of a feather flock together, apparently. Wouldn't you say that, James? Also, I'm gratified to know that my suspicions were confirmed. Linda Michaels, if that's not a Jewish name, I'll eat your hat. You know, Al Michaels, the guy that is the big producer broadcaster in is it Hollywood or is it on sports? I forget, but I've heard that name before, and he's as Jewish as Caiaphas, I guess. So consequently, I'm again right on target. How did I know? How did my instincts prove true again? And last but not least, dogs and swans have not been psychologically conditioned like human beings have by cultural Marxists to believe that their natural, normal cultural immune system is wrong. You know, they basically understand and have the healthy instincts that I wish more and more white people in America, Europe, and elsewhere would have, and would basically have as much sense as swans and dogs. It's it's really pathetic when you consider how selectively cultural Marxism has worked. I don't see black people, I don't see Hispanic people, I don't see Asian people giving up their natural affinity for racial solidarity, only white people. And by the way, we were watching a Denver Broncos Baltimore Ravens football game before the show started, and there's a wonderful article by Paul Kersey on the website Stuff Black People Don't Like about Peyton Manning, race realist. And he points out that whenever Peyton Manning is in charge of a team, and when he's with a team, he's going to be in charge of it, suddenly the team miraculously becomes whiter and whiter. That's because he knows white players, even though they've the NFL has done the very best they could to drive them totally out of the league, one, have middle-class values, two, don't buckle under pressure, don't lose their heads, and three, come through in the clutch. And those are the qualities that Peyton Manning knows are necessary in order to succeed. We wish him all the good fortune in the world in this run through the playoffs, but nonetheless, you know, it's out there everywhere. It's apparently, the Emperor's New Clothes. No one's supposed to notice or comment on it, but race realism and racial solidarity are everywhere. All you have to do is turn on the TV set, go to the movies, or listen to a conversation at your workplace.
And since you referenced the NFL playoff game that we were watching for a moment in the green room before we walked down the hall and into the studio, that game is tied in the fourth quarter, 28-28, for all you sports fans out there. This is a real-time update at 6-28 p.m. Central Time. Fourth quarter action, Denver-Baltimore tied, Peyton Manning on Denver, and your good friend Keith Michael Orr shoring up the defense for Baltimore.
Right, Michael Orr, the hero of the so-called inspiring Christian tale Blindside, which shows you not how inspiring Michael Orr is, but just how deluded white Southern fundamentalists have become under the constant assault of the cultural Marxists over the past 50 years, to the point that they're now adopting black children into their families and considering this the highest level of moral rectitude. Nonetheless, there it is in black and white, as they say, the typical struggle going on out here on the football gridiron this evening.
Yep, and you know, Michael Orr went to Briarcrest a few years after I graduated from there. And unfortunately, the good people of Briarcrest apparently no longer seem to have the good sense that God gave a goose. Or in this case, a swan. We'll be right back. Rimshot.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Did you know that doctors are the leading cause of death? Heart disease is number two, but you don't have to be a victim. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Start reversing the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month, naturally, without drugs. It's always a thrill to hear from folks that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then can't find their arthritis pain, or find they have normal blood sugar in addition to normal blood pressure, or they don't need their Viagra. It's safe, it's effective, it's affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Political Cesspool listeners. Go to CardioPrim.com and use TPC for login and password, or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. CardioPrim.com.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Yeah. get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, for anybody interested out there, now Keith has got has piqued my own interest. So I'm sitting here in our studio. I got about four windows open on the computer. Three of them are related to the program. One of them is related to the football game. And it seems as though Peyton Manning has just scored a touchdown, thrown for a touchdown, I believe. And Denver now up by seven with 7 minutes to go in the fourth.
Yep. Peyton Manning is primarily white, or at least by NFL standards, uncommonly white offense have done it. Now we'll see if the primarily black defense, or in fact exclusively black defense almost, of the Denver Broncos can hold up their end of the bargain.
I guess we're going to have to provide updates henceforth throughout the night now that we have stirred the pot and gotten our fingers wet with this. All right. Here's a story. You know, you cannot curry favor with the left. I mean, we've talked about this so many times. No matter how much they're like, you know, when you're talking to the to the left or any of their adherents, it's like the Creedence Clearwater Revival song. When you ask them how much can you give, the only answer is more, more, more. And so here was this guy, and Ramsey Paul did a video on it, and we posted the video to our website this week. And by the way, I mentioned Jared Taylor's coming up in the third and final hour tonight. You're not going to want to miss that. But Ramsey Paul will be one of the speakers at this year's American Renaissance Conference, which will be taking place April 5th through the 7th in Nashville, Tennessee. So keep that in mind. Make plans to go. And if if you're not already leaning that way, perhaps by the end of the show, after you hear Jared's presentation, you will be. Anyway, so Ramsey Paul, one of the speakers at this year's Ameren Conference, a guest on the show in the past, and someone that we regularly feature on the website at least, he did a story on this guy who wanted to be a good little radical egalitarian. He wanted to be progressive. He wanted to be in with what the media claims to be the in crowd. He wanted to be hip. He wanted to be cool. And so he became a sperm donor for a lesbian couple because, you know, that's the new so-called oppressed civil rights crowd, the sodomites, the perverts. They are oppressed, and if you help them, that means you must be one of the good guys. And so this guy wanted to be one of the good guys. He wanted to be able to brag to his friends at church, no doubt, and in his neighborhood that, hey, I'm in with the times. I donated my seed to help this lesbian couple become a family. And first of all, shame on him for doing anything that would subject a child to such a horrific lifestyle. This guy should be punished for doing this. And he is being punished. He is being punished. Because here's the kicker. It wasn't long after he donated his seed to this lesbian couple that they said, well, again, how much can he give? The only answer is more, more, more. He ain't no senator's son. No, he ain't the fortunate son. They want child support. I've never heard of a sperm donor being forced to pay child support. I mean, you're an attorney, Keith, so maybe you know more than me, but that's a new one. I'm not saying it hasn't happened before or if this is a precedent being set. But anyway, so now, it's not just that they asked for it. A judge has granted it. This sperm donor has been ordered now to pay child support for the biological daughter he fathered to a lesbian couple who found him via Craigslist. Via Craigslist. So the title of this story is Craigslist Sperm Donor Forced to Pay Child Support to Lesbian Couple. Keith, make sense of it for me if you can.
Look, as a lawyer who's had some experience in the domestic relations field, at least early in my career, this is something I've been predicting for years. You know, if you father a child, if your sperm happens to come in contact with an egg, under any circumstances, you are vulnerable to be paying child support for the rest of your life, or at least until the child reaches, at the very minimum, 18 years of age. They don't even care whether you enjoyed it You know, and I don't know if this guy particularly enjoyed his, donation experience or not. But, see, this is what happens. And furthermore, what you're doing, men, you need to be responsible. You don't just have children, by happenstance. And, you're bringing a life into the world. And who in the world that has, their head screwed on straight wants to bring a child up to be raised by homosexuals? That would be hell on earth. And, if that child does not wind up being in psychoanalysis or, psychotherapy for most of their adult life, I would be very surprised and, very predictable. But, the sperm bank phenomenon, I remember a realtor friend of mine who told me that he was representing a Butch and Nelly pair. Butch was a telephone lineman. Nelly was a dentist. And they had a child through a sperm bank out of Atlanta, no less. And this realtor went by their house one night, and they had been drinking, and Butch told him, he said, "Look, I want to show you something." And took him back to the bedroom, and next to the bed they had a bench with a series of appliances there, kind of like a workbench, and it had a place to hang and put all these things. I'll let your imagination run wild. But anyway, Butch told him, he said, "Joe, between these little handy dandies here and the sperm bank, we've just about made you men obsolete." So, it's that these people, these lesbians, aren't the most, grounded people in the world. So you can expect them to have financial troubles. In fact, you can predict it. And as a result, there's going to be an occasion for them to go on welfare and public relief. And if these people ever go, the female who gets incredible preference nowadays under the domestic relations law winds up having a hard time financially, and almost all of them do. There's a great article that was on Western Voices World News about that recently. You need to check back in the archives. Well, they're going to come after whoever fathered that child, even a sperm donor. So let the buyer beware. Let the donor beware. In this case, this is, if you want to have all the responsibilities and pain of fatherhood with none of the pleasures, be a sperm donor.
Well, it's just another story that shows how absurd America is becoming. But listen, if you want to hear Ramsey Paul offer his commentary on this particular manifestation of craziness with his typical flair and panache, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and you'll find it. Again, Keith, to bring back to the show a quote that I have been thinking about more and more with each passing story that we make available to the audience. This story is right up Hutton Gibson's alley. I mean, out of all the guests we've ever interviewed, I think he issued one of the most memorable quotes to ever be broadcast on the airwaves of this program. The issue of sodomy. If you're against it, you are intolerant. You're a bigot. You're a hater. If you're for it, if you're for this perversion, if you are for this abomination, as the Bible calls it, then you're great. Man, you are a good person. Hey, as we've mentioned, we get vilified for articulating a well-reasoned and righteous intolerance. There's a such thing as a righteous intolerance. Remember that, folks. A righteous intolerance is a good thing. God has a righteous intolerance towards sin. We have a righteous intolerance towards, at least according to our personal interpretation of Scripture, many of the same things that we hope and pray that God does, and as we believe that He does as Christians. So we get vilified for having a righteous intolerance towards policies that are anti-white and anti-Christian. But this quote by Hutton Gibson, again, applies to the issue of homosexuality as much as anything. And again, I say I think of it on a daily basis when reading through the spin that is put on such news stories as this by the mainstream establishment media. And this is what he had to say on this very show. I say it again at the risk of repeating myself, but some things need to be repeated until they're beaten to the minds of the people. And this is something you should carry with you as a tool to employ into conversations and in debates with friends and family. Tolerance is the last virtue of a depraved society. When an immoral society has blatantly and proudly violated all the commandments, it insists upon one last virtue, intolerance, for its immorality. It will not tolerate condemnation of its perversions. It creates a whole new world in which only the intolerant critic of intolerable evil is evil. Great quote. Gibson couldn't be more correct. We'll be right back. We gotta get out of this place.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten a free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly, 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I want to remind you, a lot of good stuff at thepoliticalcesspool.org this week. I think the blog has been particularly hot over the last few weeks with some very good stories, very interesting reads. Our friend Mark Krieger has an article up there called The Real Fiscal Cliff, for any of you interested in following the fiscal cliff or so-called fiscal cliff. What's the word I'm looking for? Fiscal cliff. Brouhaha would be one. I don't know. Whatever. It was another manufactured stunt. It wasn't a real. I mean, it's not like these guys really disagree with one another. But a good article on the fiscal cliff situation nonetheless. That's there. Mentioned Ramsey Paul and his commentary on the Craigslist sperm donor. We also have in that very same post audio of the interview of that we had with Ramsey Paul about a year ago at this time here on the Political Cesspool. Richard Spencer and myself did a video for NPI TV. That's up on the blog this week. We solve all the world's problems in 34 minutes, so go check that out. But before I toss it back over to Keith, and he has some comments, I was a little rushed there at the end. The music started playing, and I was trying to go through that Hutton Gibson quote, which I think everyone should file away in their memory banks. But here's what he said one more time, one last time. Tolerance is the last virtue of a depraved society. When an immoral society has blatantly and proudly violated all the commandments, it insists upon one last virtue, tolerance for its immorality. It will not tolerate condemnation of its perversions. It creates a whole new world in which only the intolerant critic of intolerable evil is evil. In other words, you should be intolerant of evil. And unfortunately, we live in a day in which evil is good and good is evil, as we read from Isaiah, the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament last week, and the Bible warns against that. Well, Hutton Gibson, you know, Mel Gibson's father, you can see where Mel gets some of his good thinking. One of the times when Hutton was on with us, and he's been on a few, it was the biggest story in Hollywood for a while there. All the Hollywood tabloids were talking about it, the late night Hollywood comedy shows, Jimmy Kimmel Live, Entertainment Tonight, made hundreds of newspapers. We were the flavor of the 24-hour news cycle that day for sure. Anyway, Keith, over to you.
Well, the trouble with Hutton Gibson is that unlike most of the worthy divines of present-day Christianity, he's actually read his Bible. And reading that Bible, he knows that sodomy is a violation of God's law. And it's a violation of God's law whether or not you're a Christian, a Muslim, or a Jew. But Muslims don't seem to be very susceptible to misreading their sacred text. On the other hand, Jews are no longer interested in Judaism. Their real religion is liberalism. And unfortunately, if you're a with it Christian nowadays, you are also replacing Christianity with liberalism. Now, I can tell you this. It was a sad, sad day for conservatism, and it was a triumph for liberalism when no-fault divorce laws started to be passed. That was one of the great triumphs. That's as big a triumph as the civil rights movement, actually, or radical feminism, or environmentalism, or the sexual revolution, the drug culture. No-fault divorce probably did a better job at undermining the nuclear family, the heterosexual family unit, which has proven indispensable in all human societies as the best way of raising children and launching them into the next generation. Now, it used to be that you could only get a divorce for fault. That's what preceded no-fault divorce. And the party that was at fault, the party that committed adultery, the party that did not support the child, the party that beat up the other spouse, the party that committed some other type of marital misconduct, they were the ones punished. They were the ones that did not get custody. In other words, if your wife committed adultery back in the old days, she would lose custody of the children, and the innocent party, if there was one, the husband, would get it. There was not this necessary preference for women under all circumstances. The feminists are totally in control in today's divorce courts. Men are expected to pay through the nose for child support. Women do not have to reciprocate and allow these men to see their children. Try getting visitation enforced in a typical courtroom setting today. If the woman is bound and determined for you not to see your children, you won't see your children. And society conspires to give her a feeling of righteousness in doing this. So consequently, the sperm donor situation is unfortunately becoming a paradigm not just for homosexuals, but for heterosexuals now. Men are considered to be sperm donors. In other words, they're not the head of the household anymore. They're like drones in a beehive, providing sperm and then going off to die, or like a praying mantis where they mate and then have their heads chewed off by the female praying mantis. This is, you know, the way the left wants it. They want this matriarchal society. But unfortunately, as the article I was mentioning earlier on Western Voices World News, most women find that they need at least the financial assistance of a man in order to successfully raise their children, unless they are extremely well off. And most women are not extremely well off, as most men are not extremely well off. It takes two working in tandem to provide the optimal raising for children. But if you listen to the feminists, you never imagine that to be the case, James.
Well, and it shouldn't be the case. Of course, that's all been by design. Back when you were growing up, Keith, a father could provide for a robust family based off his own salary. And it was unheard of that a woman would have to work. Women should not have to work, and their natural place is in the home. But unfortunately, yes, the way society is structured now, you do have to have both parents working and the dog in order to barely scrape by a living.
And furthermore, this is another triumph of feminism, this equal pay for unequal work, this equivalent work concept. You used to have what was called a family wage paid to the father so that he didn't have to send his children and his wife out to work as they did in the bad old days of Victorian England. You had a living wage that was paid, a family wage that was paid to the man. And quite frankly, feminists can't, notwithstanding, most women even today would prefer to be liberated from having to go out and toil at some unrewarding job. They'd like to stay at home doing what nature intended them to do, which is raise their children, while their husband did, again, what nature intended him to do, which is go out and bring home the bacon.
Keith, we only have 2 or 3 minutes before the end of the hour, and I want to work one more story in before that time. The thin edge of the steel wedge has been handed to us on a silver platter, an example with which we can now promote as being good for white Americans as well. Israel has cracked down once again on miscegenation. They have anti-miscegenation laws over there. They have very strict immigration laws. They had their own Kristallnacht not long ago, where they were going around door to door and business to business, rounding up African immigrants and illegal aliens and throwing them out of the country. And that's healthy and natural. Good for Israel. I want to do the same thing here. I think they got a great idea. I want to follow it. I want that to be the American policy. Well, a new anti-miscegenation law has been strengthened in Israel, Keith. We've got a video from Russia Today at thepoliticalcesspool.org. It's very taboo, if not indeed illegal, for Jews to fornicate with or certainly marry non-Jews in Israel. A man over there has been convicted of rape by deception, and the story is that this guy didn't let the Jewish woman know that he wasn't Jewish. He happened to be Muslim. He didn't say he was Muslim. He didn't say he wasn't. They just got it on, and then she later found out he wasn't, and so he's been convicted of rape by deception. But, you know, and Alan Dershowitz has opposed Ashkenazi miscegenation, and all of these Jewish powers that be over here that tell us how diversity is our greatest strength, that they're going to overturn all the laws of banning mixed race marriages, and they're going to do all this and force us to, you know, go to school with and eat with and do whatever. You know, I believe in private property rights. I believe in freedom of association. You should be able to associate with whomever you want. And if they are white, you should be able to make that decision as an adult. But anyway, over in Israel, it's a whole new ballgame, and this is an incredible story about how they're cracking down on miscegenation with these laws. But what's good for them isn't good for us, Keith, because the same people who are enacting these laws over here are the same people who are in charge of American policy.
Right. Do as we say, not as we do, seems to be the mantra of the Jewish community generally. Isn't it amazing how, when it comes to their own nation and running their own nation, they are totally and completely 180 degrees the opposite of what they are in America?
All right, folks, that's the first hour. We'll be back with two more and Jared Taylor at the end of it all. Still forthcoming tonight on TPC. Don't go anywhere.
Yeah! The day the squirrel went berserk in the First Baptist Church in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting, hallelujah! Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his Fruit of the Blooms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the 8th.